Jerry Thompson. I'm here with Randy Abrams, and this is the Malware Report. Randy, I can't believe that email spam has continued to grow. The statistics are incredibly alarming, and I was wondering what your perspective and maybe recent experiences in trying to combat email spam has been.
Well, spam's been a really interesting challenge. We're facing two significant problems. Well, much more than that, actually. But one of them is the American Congress having legalized spam through the Canned Spam Act, which companies like Microsoft strongly supported. So there's big business backing the right to spam you.
I mean, so the government actually legalized spam through the Canned Spam Act?
Yes, effectively, because what the Canned Spam Act does is require you to opt out instead of opt in. That means that every proctologist in the nation is allowed to send you email spam one time. Actually, more than one time, because you get like 10 days to process your opt-out request. Now, in other countries, opt-in is required, which says, I give you permission to come into my computer. It's like if everyone in the world was allowed to come to your door and walk into your house until you told them to leave. Well, that's the approach that big companies like Microsoft convinced the federal government we should take with spam, that legalize annoying you. Now, of course, Microsoft cannot be blamed for the people that actually send the spam. They just kind of help make the system a little worse, but it's clearly the fault of the spammers. Mm-hmm. But then we have some obviously really, really gullible users out there. I mean, when you get an email with a subject about some catastrophe and then the message body is trying to sell you pharmaceuticals, why would you buy from someone who's trying to be deceptive right up front? But obviously people are buying, or the spammers would use other techniques to get their spam to you.
True, true. Although I heard the other day that there's some companies that are able to block as much as 98% of the spam at the internet service provider gateway. But I guess 2% of what amounts to billions of messages can pose a significant problem for all of us. It just means that the spammers have to work a little harder and be a little more thoughtful about how they make their return.
Well, if you block 98% of 5 billion messages, that's a heck of a lot of messages still getting through.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I believe it's 200 billion messages are sent every year. So that's that's an unbelievable amount that can get through.
Yeah, the numbers are just growing, too.
Mm. Well, you've said to me before that there are some specific problems that are posed by spam that in some respects are similar to those of Trojans. What did you mean by that?
Well, Trojans are different from viruses because they don't replicate. With the virus, it replicates, and if you identify replication, you've identified a virus. So for Trojans, there are some programs that to one person would be a Trojan, but to another person would be legitimate. And we encounter that with spam because there are some emails where I might want a specific newsletter, but if it's sent to someone else, it's spam. And then determining whether or not it was sent with consent makes it a little bit more difficult. And then some of the spammers are doing things like making their spam look like a legitimate newsletter when in fact it's not. So it becomes a very difficult challenge to subjectively say, you know, this is spam or this is wanted. Where with the virus, it's pretty cut and dried. If it replicates, it's a virus, and if it doesn't, it's not.
Right, right. Well, from your perspective and insight, you know, to what extent is the storm-driven spam mass mailings affected all of us? Has this been evolutionary?
The storm worm really has been a problem in terms of trying to contain it because it's a peer-to-peer botnet, and that means that it doesn't report to a commander. Imagine if you're trying to fight an army and all you have to do is take out the commander-in-chief and the whole army surrenders, except this army doesn't have a commander-in-chief. Each soldier has all the instructions and relays them to all the other soldiers. Mm. And so what happens was the Storm botnet is responsible for sending out a lot of spam, because that's how they're making their money, is spammers are paying the botnet operators to use the botnet to send spam. So it's made it more difficult to stem the tide of some of this spam. However, the spams themselves are detectable as spam. It's just an ongoing arms race between anti-spam developers and the spammers, who every time anti-spam gets better, the developers of spam will figure out some new evasive tactic. Mm. Because fundamentally, it's all software. What you can do with software, you can undo with software.
Well, I suppose that's true, and that is the one reassuring portion of this discussion. Well, thanks very much. Well, this is part one of part two, and I'll look forward to discussing the rest of this issue on the next session. Randy, if people have questions for you, they can reach you at
askeset@eset.com.
Terrific. This has been Gary Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report.